Which means we never got it the first time. So we're having to go back in there again to see if we get something today. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there's 7 verses from 6 to 13. See, what we're designed to live with it. And this doesn't come naturally for us. This is an essential commodity for every one of us to have a productive life. And we can't buy this. We can't buy this. You would think that we can get this topic matter by research, by experience. But we understand we don't. So with regard to all of this, every one of us would think we are rich when really we're poor. Really we're poor. What is this thing that we are researching? What is this thing we're looking at? What is this riddle? It is wisdom. Say wisdom. And then you think you're really wise. That's the first no-show. I know some of you are wise. But you also know the word of God. Sin levels the playing field. Somehow, sin comes into our life and it reduces us to fools or being fools or foolishness. And maybe that foolishness for you and I is pictured in our desire to win and control, and yet at the same time we are destroying the very relationships that we'd actually like to control in our lives. Or maybe that is in telling myself, hey, how many of us have told ourselves I can handle that sin? When actually that sin is enslaving us today, even right now. Maybe it's telling myself I can afford something while I am swimming in debt. Maybe it's just pictured in the mundane moments or routines of everyday life. Look at the word of God, if you will, with me today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read it, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Listen to this. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The Apostle Paul in the Word of God wants you and I to understand that though right now in the Word of God, he is making a devastating critique of human wisdom. We've read that last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That Christianity, understand, is not anti-wisdom. In fact, Christianity really should be all about wisdom. All about wisdom. And so he turns now the talk to wisdom. But this is wisdom that is at the very heart of our faith. Deep-rooted belief, faith. Scripture says, a message of wisdom among the mature. Now understand this today, by mature, Paul doesn't actually mean the age or experience of the believer, but he's actually talking here about the choice of the believer. The choice of the believer, because if we look at the Word of God, it's a mature choice to gladly receive, gladly submit or surrender to God's wisdom, because really, we should be a people who are all about being wise. So what does God's wisdom do? God's wisdom separates us. It causes us to be different from the views or the opinions or the wisdom of the world that we're called to live in today. But then Paul makes this incredible distinction where he says, not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Does that sound familiar? I think it's related almost to today. See, it's not the current fad or fashion that we attach ourselves to that's led by whoever the flavor of the month is or the flavor of the moment is, because right now we live in a culture that rides the roller coaster of an ever-changing body of wisdom. What was great or what was brilliant yesterday, we somehow choose to disagree with that today, and what we agree with today we'll reject tomorrow. We'll turn our back in that tomorrow. You can start the politics looking at that. Yes has become no, and no has become yes. A never-changing situation. But that wisdom we're talking about there is always attached to a current situation which is happening now. So Paul says, that is not the wisdom. No, sir. That is not the wisdom that we attach ourselves to. No. We impart a secret and a hidden wisdom. And I'll say something about that just in a minute or two. But understand this again from the Word of God. God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Amen. Wow, that's powerful stuff. So Paul says, this, the wisdom that we attach ourselves to, or our ministry to, could we say, the wisdom that we attach ourselves to, the wisdom that we hope in, the wisdom that we rely on as being one source, that one source for you and I today remains God, and only God. The true wisdom, the living wisdom, because we do need not serve a God who knows everything. Do you believe that? We serve a God who knows everything from before origin to beyond destiny. God who's not biased in his perspective or caught in a moment of time and space. This God who we serve, this God whose wisdom remains awesome, is the only, still, the only reliable source who actually defines who you are, what life is all about, what life's meaning is, and what life's purpose is for you and I today. And we keep on asking questions like, what wisdom, hey, look at yourself, look at myself, what wisdom forms my words or your words today? There's a thought. There's a thought. What wisdom is still shaping my decisions or your decision? What wisdom directs or is directing your relationship? What wisdom controls the way you act, react, or respond? And I wonder how many people who are attending church and call themselves a believer, I wonder how many when you leave this building today are actually living a God-based life based on the wisdom of God Almighty. I wonder how many. Notice what Paul says next. He says, none. In other words, not one. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Wow. You see, everything to a sense goes back to the cross, doesn't it? For you and I, the cross remains the ultimate critique of human wisdom. If we really knew anything of God, if we really knew anything of the character of God, if we really deeply understood anything about grace, anything to do with God's wisdom, if we really knew anything of the plan of God, if we knew anything about our actual identity, then Scripture says we wouldn't crucify. crucify the Son of God. We wouldn't crucify the Lamb or the Savior of the world. In fact, we'd get down on our knees and we would worship Him. That's what we should have done. We wouldn't curse His existence. We wouldn't want to end His life. Think about all this, and it's a total contradiction to how we should see things today. What is that thing? What is that one thing that is wrong with the wisdom of this secular world that we're called to live in? And it's simply this. It misses the thing that is actually the hope. The hope of the world, Jesus. It misses that completely because we're living in this world which lacks wisdom all over the place. And the wisdom of the world, when you look at it up close and personal, the wisdom of the world is a system of redemption that lacks a redeemer. It lacks a redeemer, and we understand that what we place or who we place our hope in will never ever be a system or an organization. I hope today you have chosen of your own mind and heart that we place our hope in the Redeemer, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Amen. Is your hope in Him today? I hope it is. Think about this. We go back to the cross again. The cross really defines who God is. The cross also defines who I am. It defines who you are. The cross defines what life really is all about. The cross of Jesus defines the nature of human dilemma. What's actually wrong in the world that we live in? It defines the solution. The cross for every one of us really defines life. In all its fullness, in all its ways, the cross for you and I today should be that one thing that gives my life meaning and gives my life purpose. And I want to say this to you today with love. We cannot understand what is. Hear this. We cannot. We will never understand what is unless we choose to look what is from the vantage point of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never understand what life looks like. This thing that Paul says in verse 8 is not a minor side comment for us to look at today. Check it out for yourself. If you want to know and you want to understand everything that is important to understand about the nature of life, about the nature of God, about the movement of grace or what grace is, about transforming hope, where do we start? We start at the cross. Everything takes us back to the foot of the cross where Jesus laid down His life for you and I. And I wonder, have we got that fresh image of the cross of Jesus in our lives? Because Paul says the wisdom that he holds out is the wisdom of the cross. It is the wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of God for every one of us, has pretty much an epicenter. It's Golgotha. It is the hill of Calvary. Look again at verse 7. And there, we declare God's wisdom, amen. Have you done that? Mm-hmm. We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory, hey, before time began. It's incredible stuff. Because if we are ever going to understand the cross-shaped wisdom of God, then first of all, we have to understand it only comes by means of revelation to every one of us. Look at what Scripture says here. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you love Him? These things God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is saying is this. You hear this, if you will, today. Not in your wildest thoughts would you or I ever come up with the narrative of the gospel. Not in our wildest thoughts would you ever come up with what's written in the Word of Life, the Bible. In our most brilliant moment, in our greatest, our deepest, our best research, in our best moments of education, we could never come up with what's written in the Word of Life. That is going to come to us by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Are you open to that? That means must be incredibly grateful for this. This book that so often lies on the shelf, or in the cupboard, or the side drawer, is actually the most important thing in your possession. It's the most important thing you will ever hold, but you hold it in your heart, you see. We should be incredibly grateful for this book. We want to be a church that's known as a word-based church, that loves the Word of God. Let me tell you something about this. There is not just insight in this book, there is stunning insight in this book. In this book remains glorious hope for every single one of us. Not just hope, but the great hope, the only hope for the world today. But in this book, what it contains is a powerful warning for every one of us also, and how we live, and how we address, and how we play out our lives. They are practical principles for everyday living that we would never ever come up with on our own, but they're in this book today. There is life in this book. Amen. It is alive and it is powerful whether we believe it or not. This revelation of the Word of God, let me tell you, it will turn your life completely upside down. When you begin to get hold of this, it will take your life on a completely different course. I said last week, when you begin to live this for your life, it will undo everything you thought and rebuild you into the man or woman that God wanted you to be. The Word of God, it will change you. It will transform you. And what change what you think. It will change what you do. It will change where you go in your life today. This is the most authentic that you'll ever hold in your hands today. It is real, it is vibrant, it is living, it is not an option for you today. It is essential if you want to survive in the world that God's called you to live in today. So we must take hold of this. We must use this, we must wield this throughout this year. This here should be your best friend. Your closest friend in your life today. If you're hanging out with other people, but you're not hanging out with the Word, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. We should love the Word of God from cover to cover, not just the bits that suit us. Not the bits we pluck out and say, that'll do for today. From cover to cover, we should love it. And every single day of our life, we should hold the Word close to our hearts. It is relevant today. I will tell you it's not relevant. It doesn't matter. It's outdated. We no longer need it. Let me tell you, salvation has come from the Lord, and the Word of God is for us today. It will change our life. It will change our church. And I'll tell you that I never used to get it. I never used to comprehend it. I never used to understand it. Now I need this more than I need my bread for living. This is my bread for living. This is the Word of life. I'm excited about the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I wonder how many of us are in that state, though, where we can't live without this daily. Our daily bread, our living bread. Are you grateful that God has given us His Word? Yes. I hope we are. So therefore, what we must do, we must make a commitment. Now, we have never made this commitment, but it's part of our journey here in Mossvale. We must be devoted. We must be dedicated. We must be committed to the fullness of the Word of God. Amen. All in, all the way. Because, think about this, if you're humble like me, without this, I do not have a clue. Without this, before this was really part of my life, I screwed up, messed up all the time. This is my guide. This is my director. This is my pathway. This is my life. This is how I choose to live my life. Without that, I fall over. I fall off. I get it wrong. When I'm not indulging in it, I make a mess. I still screw up. I get things wrong. When I'm holding my breath for the very next word and the very next sentence or whatever chapter that is coming to me with a gasp, I know there's something vital and alive in this that appeals and applies to me that I can use as a tool and a weapon in the world that we're called to live in today. And as I was preparing for this week, I felt just sitting in the prayer room upstairs just to stop. I don't often stop, but just to stop. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, you stop on your on your knees in my presence. And I said, why, Lord? He says, when was the last time, son, you really thanked me for the word? And I just stopped. I got on my knees. And for the next minute, all I said was, thank you, Lord. 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 And I felt a shift and a change. Just by being grateful to the Lord that He had given us His word. But as I was doing it, I became aware of the cost. What it cost to put the word of God in my hands today. To allow me to have that, to use that, to work with that. And I wonder, have we ever got to that place where thank God enough for His incredible, beautiful, precious word? I'm mumbling on here. Verse 10 says, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep, deep things of God. Listen, church, why is the Spirit of God able then to reveal His word? I'll tell you why. Because He is God. He's God. The Spirit of God has the mind of God. Praise God. So the Spirit of God then directed men to God to write the words of God so we, the people of God, could receive these words. Have we received the word of God? Are you saved?
Yes.
Is everybody saved?
Yes.
And at some point you must have received the word of God to your life. And this was an incredible plan. This was God's awesome plan. I can actually, and this is kind of mind-boggling stuff for me, and I think we can get immune to this, and I think we can actually get used to it, that I am actually holding in my hands the words of Almighty God. I have it right here, this treasure, and I can say, this is the word of God, and I kind of want to go, wow, amazing. I sort of want to pass orally, and I'm sure Pastor Debbie thinks the same thing. I kind of want to get amongst some of you, dare I say this, with all reverence, and kind of stand you up where you are, and kind of shake you. Because sometimes they're looking at me like I'm stupid, maybe I am. Maybe it's me that's got all this wrong, but I kind of want to shake some people and say, are you getting this? Are you hearing any of this? Because this is for you. The reason you're not getting it means that it's for you. And I kind of want to shake things up in that realm. You know, I have a method when I'm counseling. Now, Pastor Robert taught me this method, by the way. I have a method. People come into my office now and then, because Pastor Denny's got the women result with that one, hallelujah. When men come into my office now and they say, life's crap, life's a mess, they're all screwed up, and I just come back at them, how's your scripture life? I've not read the Bible for 2 weeks. Go and read it, come back and see me. And we're done. That's wisdom. I can't do anything real with anybody for not the word of God. The first thing I need to know from a man is you are reading God's word. God's word is your life. It's your life source. Once we get beyond that, then we'll have some more time for them. Because then we're on the same page. And we're thinking exactly the same way. But when you look at this here, there's another ministry that's beautiful of the Spirit that we need. And this was picked up. Look at it yourself. In verses 12 and 13, listen, church, if we're ever going to understand that stunning, life-transforming, hope-giving wisdom of the gospel, we don't just need revelation, we need illumination. Going on right there. What it says there is this: what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has given us freely. Amen. Perhaps there could be no, listen to this, and this is fact, I've always mentioned it, perhaps there could be no sadder reality than to have an individual, than to have somebody holding in their hands the Word of God, to them, have those words mean absolutely nothing to them, and maybe some of us can remember those days. Remember those days, don't you? Remember reading the Word of God, and it was like a closed book to you. We've all been there. We've all been in that place, and you wondered what, you wondered why people were so amazed by these words. Amazed by these scriptures, they seemed to be transformed. They seemed to come alive when you read the Word of God, and you read passages, and you looked to them, and these passages just looked like foolishness to you. Words on a page that looked like nothing, and you thought, who would believe that? Who would buy into that? And then, in an act of undeserved, transforming grace, God's Holy Spirit shone a light for you on that page. And a light switched on at that very moment in your heart. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that passage began to speak to you. Remember that moment? Do you still get them? Oh, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, from being quite cold-hearted and not understanding and seeing the Word of God as foolishness, you're sitting reading the Word of God one day and you feel this wet stuff coming down your cheek. That's called a tear. Boy, I confused some of you there. And you are weeping over the Word of God. Then the next day, you're in the Word of God and you're reading something and the joy of the Lord comes on you. That's way! I never saw that. I read that last week. And look at that, Nehemiah, and the building bridge there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you're thinking, well, I can have some of that. I'll have a slice, a piece of that. And all of a sudden, you're getting hungry then. And this is what the Holy Spirit's after from every one of us, is to see things and create a hunger for the things of God through the Word of God. So we've all been in that place. We've wept over Scripture. We've rejoiced over Scripture. We've pondered these things in our heart. And what an amazing thing. Hey, is it not an amazing thing when you bring it into completion that God would choose to love lost, rebellious, arrogant, self-sufficient, self-righteous people this much that he would break through those walls of self-reliance, that God for you and I through his word would break through the walls of our wisdom and open our hearts so that we could finally receive this truth. Beautiful. And so all I want to do now, what I do over the Word of God, I thank him, but I always praise him for it. So I praise him and I praise him and I praise him. I say, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Then I praise him. And I praise him. And I praise him, Pastor. And I praise him again. Then I praise him again. Because when you start praising him, it should be a continual thing, shouldn't it? His praise should be continually there on your lips or on your mouth. So we praise him. We thank him. We praise him. We rejoice in him for the Word of God. The beautiful Word of God, because let me tell you something, it's humbling. God, who gave the Word, now opens the Word of God in our hearts. So it comes off the pages and skips into our hearts. Has that happened for you? Anyone? Give me a break here. Tell me something, the Word of God in your heart. Tell me it's off the pages now, right off the scale. And right into your heart today. And so God who gave us the Word, now places the Word in our lives today. And I cannot begin to tell you, listen to this, I cannot begin to tell you how encouraged I have been all these years on, having read this for many, many years, by this passage again this week. I have loved it, because when I read it, you know what I got, Pastor D? I got, maybe there's hope for this guy. Maybe there's still hope for me, verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Hallelujah. Listen, church, only the Spirit of God can do with the words of this preacher. Only he can take them, and the words of this text, the Holy Spirit, he takes them. He takes them, applying them with specificity to the heart and mind of a woman who would have ears to hear. And your life in moments of conviction, and your life in moments of encouragement, and moments of hope, and moments of challenge. Let me tell you something about this today, in case you think I'm doing something here. If the Holy Spirit, if He isn't, at this very moment, right now, active with what we are doing here at Mosgiel Community Church, I mean directly now, in this very moment, all of what we are doing is an incredible waste of time. It's an incredible waste of time. Because let me tell you something, I say this in all love and humility, I have little, or I have absolutely no capacity to apply or drive these truths home to your heart. None whatsoever. And I'll go further than that today if you want me to. I have no capacity whatsoever to give you the heart that can receive them. But thankfully, it's not my job. That's not my job. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's His work. And yet, I absolutely love these moments when someone comes up to me after church on Sunday, today, or the men's meeting, and says, "Pastor, did my wife phone you this week? Did the wife phone you? Have you been in my house this week, Pastor? How do you know what's going on? Who told you this stuff? Or how do you know I was thinking that this morning? How do you know being going through that?" The truth is, listen, let me be clear, the truth is, I don't actually have a clue about any of that stuff. But the Spirit of God does. And the Spirit of God will take a man or a woman and use them as a conduit for the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And this Holy Spirit, more so than I do, that's why we need to know the Holy Spirit. He delights in applying His Word to the people of God. So here's the closing thought. Let's get back to the cross. We run to the cross for wisdom. We run to the cross for forgiveness. That is wisdom in itself. We run there for power, for wisdom. We run there for our hope. We run there to that place to be set free, to be delivered, because the veil, thank God, the veil over the cross has been removed for us, and now we see its glory, amen. All its glory. We see it for its beauty. The cross for you and I, hopefully and prayerfully, is no longer foolishness to us, so we can now wrap our arms around the cross and say, "Thank you. Thank you." We sing the hymn at the cross, we sing the hymn in the cross, and we do that because the Spirit of God that lives within us, the Spirit is a spirit of revelation, and who's a spirit of illumination. And we thank God. So I wonder, just put your hand up there if you say, "God, I need more wisdom in my life." Just hold it there. Close your eyes. See, if some are only here and you've never had any of this kind of revelatory experience or have been illumined to the Word of God, so I'm going to ask you who are mature right now just to pray this in your heart with me, even though you have experienced it. Oh God, by your Spirit, say that. Oh God, by your Spirit, won't you today shine a fresh light in your Word? And Lord, would you please shine a light into my heart so that I may know, so that I may understand the deeper things of God. Amen. Let's pray again. Oh Lord, hallelujah. I'll pray this. We thank you for this passage of Scripture today. We look at it, God, and it fills our hearts and our lives with hope. We thank you, God, not as the world is, we are not trapped in endless foolishness, because wisdom has come in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed your truth in your Word. You've opened that truth to us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we are delighted and thankful that we're not as we were. We've been changed, we've been transformed. So we thank you today. We thank you for your word. May again we be a church that is hungry and passionate about the word of God that has been given to us. We pray that this word now would seep into our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits. And again, Lord, may we find ourselves in these days to come when we open the word of God, before we even indulge ourselves in it, just saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome, before I sit down, I would be unwise, I didn't, two little ones to our congregation. They are called Ben and Rory. Am I right? Have I got that right? And they are the children of Ian and Heather. Come on, bring them up to the show. Father, again, as we say so often, when we look at this picture, there is no doubt that we serve the Creator of the world, the giver of life, the giver of all the good things that are beautiful. We thank you for Ian and for Heather. We thank you for their boys, for Ben and Roy. We pray for this family as a package today. We pray, Lord God, for health on their lives. We pray for protection over them as they go on this life journey together as a four. We pray in the name of Jesus that what they've been given as parents, Lord, they would guard and nurture and bring up in the ways of God. We thank you for the many blessings that are yet to come, but today we just stand with them and we rejoice with them in the presence of God. So be with this family. We thank you for the obvious bond that is already there. We pray, Lord God, that you continue to grow them together. We pray, Lord God, for mum and dad. Just give them strength, rest, moments for togetherness as they grow together. Bless them, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.